First reading is from Psalm 68, beginning at verse 4. Sing to God, sing praises to his name. Lift up a song to him who rides upon the clouds. His name is the Lord. Be exultant before him. Father of orphans and protector of widows is God in his holy habitation. One page at a time, Bob. God gives the desolate a home to live in. He leads out the prisoners to prosperity, and the rebellious live in a parched land. O God, when you went out before your people, when you marched through the wilderness, the earth quaked, the heavens poured down rain at the presence of God, the God of Sinai, at the presence of God, the God of Israel. Rain in abundance, O God, you showered abroad. You restored your heritage when it languished. Your flock found a dwelling in it. In your goodness, O God, you provided for the needy.
Thank you, Bob. Before I read the second reading, I'm often fond of saying to all of you that you live a gospel. You live a gospel. Gospel is good news. You live a gospel in your relationship with those around you and with your God. That being said, that means in your life you also write a gospel that is yours, a gospel that includes the impressions you have of the life you've had and the life you've lived with others. And that is my introduction for you, Ray. If you would come forward now and share your piece you wrote about your dad. And let's listen to Ray's gospel.
I'd like to honor my father this morning, which seems kind of strange, because he died 60 years ago. I made a few notes for the dates or so. He was born in Rochester, in England, and was in World War I, in the trenches. And coming out, he built a business and went through the Roaring Twenties. He manufactured pleating machines, which pleat ladies' skirts, you know. He had over 70 patents on that. Finally, he suffered the loss of that business in 1929 during the Great Depression. He rebuilt the business through the 1930s until 1939, start of World War II. And then went through 4 years of London Blitz. His health began failing. And when you have your own business, there's no safety net, no pension. And he's probably disappointed in me that I didn't follow in his footsteps. But I went in another direction. I went to work in the big companies, where it was safer, I guess, than in the fashion industry. But he was a great father. He provided for his family the best he could through the war. He built a shelter in the backyard, which we got flooded up. And we slept in the house till we got damaged by a bomb. And then, with the shortages of food and everything, he did the best he could to feed us. You'd find too many obese children in those days. What I took for sandwiches for school lunch would surprise you. And we did the best we could. And I came to this country and I sent money overseas until he died, as I say, 60 years ago. And he had heart problems. And so I wish to honor honor my father. Thank you.
Thank you, Ray. A true gospel story. And a reading from 1 John, 2nd chapter. John writes, "Beloved, I am writing you no new commandment, but an old commandment that you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that you have heard. Yet I am writing you a new commandment that is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away, and the true light is already shining. Whoever says, 'I am in the light,' while hating a brother or sister, is still in the darkness. Whoever loves a brother or sister lives in the light. And in such a person there is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates another believer is in the darkness, walks in the darkness, and does not know the way to go, because the darkness has brought on blindness. I am writing to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven on account of his name. I am writing to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I am writing to you, young people, because you have conquered the evil one. I write to you, children, because you know the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young people, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome." Beautiful words from a great believer and follower of Christ. Our sermon this morning is an Abba SOS. "When you hear me, darling, can't you hear?" No. And I want to focus on this because Father's Day is a day when we celebrate fathers. Fitting enough, we got Grandparents' Day, we have Children's Day, we have Mother's Day, we have Groundhog Day, for God's sake. We ought to have a Father's Day, right? If you can celebrate rodent, you ought to be able to celebrate a dad. Welcome back, guys. I'm glad you're here. The concept of God as Father is a pretty ancient one. Back in our Old Testament, God is referred to as a father more than once. And it's important for us to look at the characteristics of God that are being asserted in the Old Testament when God is called Father. A father in the Old Testament times was the head of the entire clan. He said, went. He was the one who oversaw all of the property in his domain, said what would be planted where, and how, determined how the inheritance would be divided up among his offspring. He was the one who held honor in the name that he had and protected and passed on to his children. He was the boss applesauce, is the theological term, I believe. The big guy. The number one who decided where we would live, what we would do, when we would move to a new camp in the days of the nomadic existence. He was number one. You think father, you think Abraham, right? Abraham was the great father of Israel. So God as father meant someone who was powerful, who could shelter us, who would discipline us, who would provide for our well-being. All of those things fit very well in a concept of God, do they not? All those things are things that God is and God should be. So calling God Father works. Jesus, though, takes it a step further. Jesus, remember, came not to supplant the law, but to complete it. The law being the books that were already there in the Hebrew canon. And Jesus takes us a little further with the concept of Father. In fact, he uses the term in Greek is Abba. Abba. Which more specifically would mean daddy. Now, there's a world of difference usually between the term father and the word daddy. Father is a more formal term, looking at and respecting, of course, the father's position, and it is an all-around appropriate term for God. Daddy speaks of an emotional connection and a loving relationship and a trust that the small and the humble and the innocent can have for the mighty and the strong and the impossibly tall. I had a father, have still, lucky me, and he's also a daddy. Some people have a father in biology only who was not a daddy, and some people have disastrous fathers in their background. And a problem comes when we get our thinking screwed up as Christians, and we decide that what it says in the Bible is what God has to be. Well, that's wrong. What it says in the Bible is what we have to be. So God doesn't have to be referred to as Father, but we who would be referred to as Father need to follow the example God set. It's as simple as that. It is as simple as that. So, when I call God Father, which I do some of the time, Dave and I even wrote a song about it, you might hear someday. When I call God Father, I think of the best traits I inherited from my father. I think of loyalty and honesty. I'm both of those. I'm loyal and I'm honest. And those are wonderful things. I think of physical strength. So I can protect my family if need be. If there's a wandering bear, I can wrestle it. How about I can open a pickle jar? Would that work? And you see, I'm as likely to call God mother or call God anything at all because I haven't yet found a name that works for me. But when I call God father, I am not insisting that God have certain anatomical features that make God male. When I call God Father, I am challenging myself because I am a father too. I am challenging myself to protect my household and to see that they are cared for now and in their future and that decisions I make honor them and are for their own good. And when I call God Daddy or Abba, I am challenging myself to be someone who can be trusted with a kid's secrets, to be someone who can love tenderly even when a child is at their most unlovable, that I will be someone who will laugh at crude humor that makes my wife wince, and that I will be there. Like when Jesus called God Daddy. So, an Abba SOS is just this. To be close enough to God, to call God Abba, is a way of saying, save our ship, save our souls, save our skins, Daddy. Love me, Daddy. Keep me straight and true, Daddy. Be there when the monsters are under the bed, and kids, there aren't really any monsters under the bed. It's just a trick in your mind. But be there to check the closet. Be there to fix the blown-out tire on the bicycle, even if it's with duct tape. I had to say that, Dad, sorry. And if you are a dad, or plan to be one, and you call God Father, recognize the challenge that is there for you. Recognize if you call God Father, and you have that role too, it's you that has to be there. It's you that has to fit your behavior in a set of criteria. It is you that has to bring honor to your family. I saw a statistic the other day. Actually, I heard it on NPR with a man who just wrote a book called Father Fiction. And he's a man who grew up without a father and made a lot of mistakes in his life. And he did research of overcrowded prisons in the United States and found that 80% of the males incarcerated in prison, males between, I think he said, 18 and 30 in prison, 80% of them grew up without a strong father figure, grew up without a father in the home. He also heard of a game farm, I think it might have been in Africa, but I'm not sure, where they had a bunch of young bull elephants, just young elephants. And when it came in time for breeding time, to musk time, these young bull elephants started going into that hormonal madness. They should have come out in a week or two, and they didn't. And they kept getting more and more aggressive. And they actually started beating up on rhinos that were coming to the watering hole. They were obnoxious and vile. And they found some old bull elephants and brought them in, and the behavior stopped. What we find from this, and here I'm talking to the men in particular, what we find from this is that our presence in the creative order is vital. Our presence as fathers and as men of example, vital. And much of the difficulty we see in our society today is because many of us men don't pony up. Now, I believe I'm preaching to the choir in this room. But in a world that sometimes insists on calling, I would ask you when you leave here today that you share this idea that calling God Father does not mean that God is male. Calling God Father means a challenge, a gauntlet, and an expectation has been laid down to every human being who is male. And I would ask you to go forth from here, all you guys, knowing that God loves you dearly, whether God is daddy, mommy, or cosmic muffin, or whatever way you refer to God. It's from an old song. However it is that you refer to God, an Abba SOS has been sent. We already had God's expectations. We already knew that we were supposed be tough and strong and in charge. What we didn't know until Jesus came along and spun it better for us is that not only are we supposed to be tough, but we're supposed to be tender. Not only are we supposed to be in charge, but we're supposed to be humble and occasionally step back and listen. Not only are we supposed to be powerful, we're supposed to be fair and humble and peaceful, and loving. All those best traits in God should be our best traits as well. And for all you ladies, those of you in the room who haven't yet chosen a man, if you decide to choose a man, look for one like that. Speaking as a father of a teenage girl myself, and with other girls in the room that I care about deeply and dearly, an Abba SOS. Father's Day for me is a day of reflection, because the day my kids were born, those 2 days, are two of the most astounding and life and game-changing moments in my life. And I got to tell you, I kind of like who I am as a dad. There are times when I don't think I'm especially good as a husband or as a son or as a brother or as a cousin or as a community member or as any number of other things. But I like who I am when I'm being a dad. And I thank God for that. I thank Jesus for that. For an example given, not as a way to limit God, but as an example given to free me from the limits of my own imagination in a role that is more important than any a man can play in the world. Thank you, all of you in this room, who are wonderful examples of a dad. Thank you, Dad. You're all right. And for those of you who are without your father today, I know you realize somewhere inside you are not without your father today. You are never without your father. And no matter who or how he was, the very best that he had to give, he has given to you.